Jordi Sank is the director of I Am Here. Gabriella Bloomberg, producer of I Am Here. A very good morning to you both. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
It is. It's an absolute pleasure. So I guess Jordi, we're starting with you. Is it the point? Did I need? Was it good that I was left with so many questions? Or do you want to produce? Is it a goal to create something that is neatly wrapped up and handed to a viewer?
So I think, Howard, what you're saying is 100% correct. We wanted to make a film that, you know, felt somewhat different. You know, we've seen many Holocaust documentaries. We were educated about the Holocaust in school, and we wanted to sort of create something that, you know, was engaging in a different way and, you know, let you into the life of this extraordinary woman and focused, you know, a lot on the present day, not just the past. And, you know, find dynamic ways to tell stories utilizing animation and just, you know, letting her incredible zest for life and character sort of lead this story. So yeah, I think you leaving with questions and things to discuss is most definitely our goal.
Gabriella, how do you go about deciding about producing a Holocaust documentary? There are many of them about, there are stories that are told, there's a certain amount of potential fatigue from people who have seen a lot of this type of production. What makes you move ahead with something that you know could be different and unique?
I think it's a brilliant question. I think, as Jordi mentioned, you know, we grew up and being educated about the Holocaust. And I think it's very interesting when you look at Holocaust films, you know, kind of throughout history, that first generation, you know, as soon as the Holocaust ended, there was very little documentation because people obviously did not want to share their experiences openly. And then we have amazing initiatives that begin to document these testimonies, which is why we have such a, you know, phenomenal record now of these stories. And I think we realized that there was, you know, a gap, of, you know, that there's a gap where we need to tell these stories in a new way, that's engaging, and especially now to a younger generation that might not want to sit through a talking heads story.
Absolutely.
With lots of stock footage. Mm. So I think that there was this need to create something that was dynamic and something that was new that would continue to educate about the Holocaust.
So it's actually fascinating you say that, because I was reluctant to watch this just because I've seen so many of these things, and you speak about the talking heads. I thought, I don't know if I want to sit through another documentary of somebody just telling a story with maybe images flashing in the background. And I knew nothing about how this was created in terms of the use of animation and themes. And I loved some of the themes that were introduced. So Jordi, just coming back to you, how difficult was it to land on this idea of using animation to tell a story? Because animation can be obviously quite frivolous and childlike and is associated with a very different story other than the Holocaust.
Yes. Well, it actually came up a lot later when we were working on the documentary. About, I'd say, like 6 months in, we were busy editing our initial shoot with Ella. And, you know, we just sort of realized, we started to experiment and play with stock footage, and we just realized that Ella, the way she also tells her stories, they're so harrowing, and some of the moments are so uplifting that, you know, it's almost like the stock footage didn't really serve her stories. So, you know, we started to explore other avenues, and that's when we sort of found animation, and we found an amazing artist in Cape Town who did all the animation. And, you know, we just thought it was incredible because it allows the viewer to sort of walk alongside her and, you know, be engaged and to experience it, you know, almost like through her eyes. So, you know, we were very cautious, like you say, to make sure that the animation didn't feel childlike, and that it's, you know, it was sort of grounded in some sort of, I guess, realism.
But at the same time, it makes it a little bit more palatable.
Definitely.
Because you don't feel you're being assaulted by harrowing images.
Mm-hmm. Mm, definitely. When you look at some of the stock footage, it's terrible. Some of the stock footage you see, really. It really makes it, like you're saying, a lot more palatable. And yeah, I just think the animation really, really engages everyone and allows them to connect emotionally with Ella. You know, sometimes when you look at the stock, you're not able to connect personally with someone, but because you're seeing her story being told through the medium of animation, you sort of connect with her, what she's saying, and her character, like, completely. So yeah.
I think, Howard, if I may jump in,
it
also just allowed us this beautiful opportunity to use magic realism. There are many moments in the camp that Ella, true to her resilient self, creates these magical moments and shares them with the people in the camp. And we have, you know, I don't want to spoil the film.
Yeah, I was just going to say as well, there's certain parts exactly. I'm thinking of an item that she finds and it does become a magical moment. And you used animation for that, which was magnificent.
Mm.
The other thing that certainly intrigued me was Ella herself, because you see this incredibly positive, powerful, resilient person who's living through abject horror. She comes through it. She rebuilds a life. But what we see in certain immediate moments is, and I use the word damage or scarring in inverted commas, because I'm not really sure that even does it justice, that impacts on her everyday life. We also see, and it made me fascinated by her relationship with her children, who we could see were kept very, very far away from a lot of the horrors that she had been through, the removal of her number, which today we'd look back and say, well, why would she have done that? But then we understand that she needed to move on and was grasping at this new life. But this must have been quite difficult for her to go through, because it's all very well to say, well, look what I've built and look who I am today, and I'm positive and I'm loved and I'm surrounded by family. But this must have taken her back. Well, it clearly did take her back to the most harrowing part of her own life. How was that for her?
So I think the working on the film was a very tough experience for her. But I think the amazing thing is that, you know, the film crew, we had a very, very sort of intimate film crew, and we were there and sort of we were holding her up when she was down. And you know, in Ella's amazing spirit, when we were sort of down after hearing about some of the tragic stories, she was there to sort of lift us up and sort of reignite our energy. So yeah, I think the experience was very difficult, but it was also very cathartic for her, you know, to tell her stories and also to know now, you know, she's really at peace now, knowing that all of her stories are documented and she loves the film and you know, it's there forever. Please God.
Mm. Just tell us about the recognition and the achievements that you have seen since the release of the film.
Sure. So we've had really wonderful reception of the film, and we are just so thrilled that this film has really resonated with audiences across the world. The film premiered at the Atlanta Jewish Film Festival at the beginning of the year, where it won the Audience Award for Best Documentary, and it then went on to the Miami Jewish Film Festival, and recently in South Africa, it was one of the most watched films at the Encounters International South African Film Documentary Film Festival, and shortly it's going to be showing at, what is online actually now, at the Durban International Film Festival, where it is up for a jury award and it's also up for an audience award. So we're really looking forward to people in South Africa having access to watch it. And actually this Durban International Film Festival is free of charge.
And so how do people, in fact, all of our listeners, D, this is what we call a chutzpah. D says, for those of us who have to leave the car right now and go to work, please tell us the name of the film and where we can go and watch it. All right. What is the name of the film and where can people go and watch it?
Brilliant. Well, the film is titled I Am Here and it is available at the Durban Film Festival. So, the Durban Film Festival website. Let me just get it for you quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Searching.
It's DurbanFilmFest.com.
Durban Film Fest.
Yeah, DurbanFilmFest.com. And then you can, you know, it's as easy as clicking on the film I Am Here, making a profile and then renting the film. And once you've rented the film, you have 48 hours to watch the film.
Right. And that's at no cost.
Yeah, no cost, completely free.
Yeah, our listeners love things at no cost. So, not to sound judgy or anything.
Howard, you can also follow at Sanctuary Films with a K on Instagram and Facebook, and we have all of the latest news and updates, and the link to the film is also can be found on our social media.